meets me back in Manitoba many moons ago. It's Abandoned Manitoba time with Gordon Goldsborough. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
What are we discussing this week?
Well, when I travel around Manitoba, I'm always drawn to places that offer scenic views of the surrounding landscape. But unfortunately, as my friend Christian Cassidy has pointed out, places where one can get a panoramic view of Winnipeg are scarce. Abandonment plays a role in that, as there were once at least two places in the heart of the city that offered stunning vistas of the city, but both of them are now gone.
So where were these places?
Well, the first was at the historic corner of Portage Avenue and Main Street. Virtually everything that was at that intersection 60 years ago is now gone. So, for example, the 12-story Childs building that was on the west corner was demolished in 1988. On the east corner, a Red Indian service station, yes, that was its name, Red Indian service station, was demolished in 1964. And a building beside the service station called the Wheat Pool Building, it came down in 1966. So, you know, pretty much the entire section there taken out in the 1960s. But that removal of those buildings made an iconic site available for redevelopment. So between 1967 and 1969, a 34-story building, the Richardson Building, was constructed to provide offices for, of course, the firm of James Richardson & Sons and a host of other companies. It was Winnipeg's tallest building, and it tapped out at 124 meters, 407 feet. The Richardson Building featured a public observation gallery from which you could get a spectacular view of the city, and it wrapped around the 31st floor of the building.
So tell us more about this observation gallery.
Well, it opened in late November of 1969, and it was said that you could see all the way to Selkirk from the top. Its hours of operation were from 6 to 10 on weekdays, 10 to 10 on Saturdays, 2 to 10 on Sundays. And at first, they did offer free admission. You had to apply for a ticket, and they sent out 6,000 tickets. I know Bruce mentioned that he, as a child, went up to see it, and I know I did as well, because it was free, and you got a sight you could never have seen before that. Unfortunately, the freebie ended fairly quickly, beginning in January of 1970. They started to charge admission. It was 50 cents for adults, 25 cents for kids, but again, it was a view you just couldn't get any other way. It opened through the 1970s and early 1980s, but by the later years, well, you had to reserve a tour. In other words, it wasn't just open anytime you wanted to come. And the gallery finally closed in late 1989. The space was later converted into a running track and gym. And supposedly, a gym is still present for the use of building tenants. But, you know, I wasn't able to verify this because, well, in order to get up to the upper floors of the Richardson Building, you now need a pass card. And, well, I don't have one of those. So, in other words, the former observation gallery is not open to the public. Meanwhile, the Richardson Building lost its title as Winnipeg's tallest building in 1990 when a 33-story building at 201 Portage Avenue, partly on the former Childs Building site, overtook it. Now, I know what people might be thinking. Hey, wait a minute. That's a 33-story building. The Richardson was 34. How does that work? Well, yes, this new building had one fewer floor, but it was 4 meters taller. So it was a taller building overall. And that building has had several names during the past 35 years. Initially, it was known as the TD Center, and it was later the Canwest Place. But today, it's known simply by its street address, 201 Portage. And in fact, it lost the crown of tallest building in 2022, when a 42-story mixed-use residential building opened at 300 Main Street.
So that's one of the two sites for views that you mentioned. What's the other?
Well, the second abandoned view site is Fort Garry Place, a large apartment complex situated immediately south of the Fort Garry Hotel. Developed in stages through the 1980s by businessman Martin Bergen, his plan was to have three residential towers containing a total of 900 apartments, a big, big complex. And at the top of the northernmost tower of Fort Garry Place was the Royal Crown Revolving Restaurant. You know, it was just one of a few such restaurants across Canada, and Bergen said that its name, the Royal Crown, was in fact based on a popular brand of Canadian whiskey, Crown Royal. And I guess it was just to make it memorable. And I'm not sure in this day and age how he would get away with that because, you know, they probably would be on him for copyright infringement. But anyway, there it was. They'd had a restaurant that opened in April of 1988 with a lounge and a small banquet room that was on the 28th floor. The kitchen that served the diners was on the 29th floor. The main revolving dining room was on the 30th floor. And then there was a smaller revolving space that was on the 31st floor. But there was more. To get to the restaurant from the ground, you took a glass elevator. The walls of the elevator were glass. And as it ran up the exterior of the building, you also got just a phenomenal view as you rose above the city. And there was really quite a wonderful view from the top. Once you got to your table at the restaurant, you basically got a panoramic view of the city because the floor underneath you revolved. It turned 360 degrees over a period. Well, I'm told I got various estimates. Some of them said 45 minutes, some said 70 minutes. I heard from somebody who said that you actually could adjust the speed to go at different rates. And I was thinking, that could be kind of interesting too.
Especially when you're eating. What sort of menu did the restaurant have?
Well, I think the operators saw it as a fine dining establishment that, you know, had the usual fare you'd expect in such a place in the 1980s. I think to describe it briefly, it was surf and turf. It had seafood, it had beef and pork and chicken and the usual stuff. Noted restaurant critic Marion Warhaft, who through her life reviewed all sorts of restaurants and was always very informative about them, she reviewed the Royal Crown a couple of months after it opened and, well, frankly, she was not impressed. She argued that patrons were paying primarily for the view, not the food. And I think that was a pretty reasonable thing to observe. And if they wanted a truly great meal, well, they should look elsewhere. Yet the Royal Crown survived. It persisted for two decades before it finally closed in December of 2008. And an insider noted that the restaurant had been doomed by rising operating costs and the scarcity of parking. The building owner was reported as being confident that a new tenant for the restaurant would be found quickly. But that didn't happen. The revolving space was actually motionless for the next 5 years.
So what took its place?
What took its place was Prairie 360 Skyline Restaurant that opened in November of 2013. Now, it featured a dining room that focused on what they called prairie-inspired fine dining. So there was that phrase, fine dining again. I actually did find a menu for the restaurant online, and it listed such entrees as Chateaubriand, New York strip loin, lamb shank, Korean chicken, blackened pickerel, and West Coast salmon. So not all of those were what I would call prairie-inspired, but anyway. And then they had the usual salad, vegetable, and dessert options. Now, I should say, I ate at Prairie 360 several times, and usually when I had an out-of-town guest who I thought would enjoy the view, or when they offered Sunday brunch. It was just a nice way to have, you know, a family time. Generally speaking, I found the meal to be good, but not usually exceptional, although there was one time I had an elk steak that was truly outstanding. Oh, it was so good. I remember it like years later. Now, below the restaurant, they had what they called the Sky Lounge on the 28th floor, and it offered a great view to the north. And in the interest of full disclosure, I should note that my daughter, of whom I'm very proud, of course, managed that lounge for a period of time.
The Prairie 360 restaurant's gone, though, too, right, isn't it?
Indeed it is. And it appears to have closed in late 2021, although the exact date is unclear. My search of the Internet Archive showed that its website went offline in December 2021. And I suspect, given the timeline, it was probably the COVID-19 pandemic that played a role in its demise because, well, of course, when you couldn't go out to eat in a restaurant, well, then you wouldn't go out to one that offered even a spectacular view. So I think probably the number of diners simply plummeted.
Are there other places in tall buildings where one can get a good view of the city?
There are several tall buildings in downtown Winnipeg where, in theory, if you can get to the top, you could get a great view of the surrounding city. But the reality is that access to the upper floors of most of these buildings is usually restricted. And even the identities of tenants on the upper floors are usually not divulged publicly, which is kind of interesting in itself. But it turns out the law firm of MLT Akins occupies the 30th floor at 360 Main Street. And I'm told that its reception area has a truly great view. You know, so maybe listeners would drop in for a quick look and, you know, maybe get some legal advice while they're there. Otherwise, well, there are other places to get a reasonably good view, if not a spectacular one, from the top of a few of the buildings in the downtown core. But there's other places, too. So, for example, I think of Garbage Hill. You know, you actually get a pretty good view from the top. My personal strategy, though, is to send up a drone to take in the scenery, because then you don't need any building at all.
Thanks for this, Gordon. What's up for next week?
Well, you know, while I was thinking about Prairie 360, my mind wandered to other well-known restaurants, now closed, that I've encountered in my historical research. Places like The Paddock here in Winnipeg, or Kokonos in Brandon, or one of my personal favorites, Kurt's Schnitzel House in Wauwinisa. You know, so I want to hear from our listeners on this one. What other former Manitoba restaurants do you remember most, and why? What was significant about them? Let me know by email at Gordon, G-O-R-D-O-N, at mhs.mb.ca. And we're going to discuss some of them next week.
Okay, I can't be the only one who's just still thinking about elk steak throughout this whole conversation.
Well, you know, and I'm really thinking I want to go home now and have an elk steak because it was so good.
I want one too.
Yeah.
Gordon, thank you so much.
You're most welcome. Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.